And the brother who was singing here a while ago just touched on so many things about what I want to talk about for a while here tonight. But you hear this testimony of this great conversion. Praise God. In fact, if this conversion didn't take place, we wouldn't have heard from God quite as great as we're hearing tonight from the New Testament. He is the man who has wrote the most of it. And let's hear his words about how God saved him. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Hear that. A murderer. A man who testified against the church that was anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-influence from any believer. This guy was against them. This is what the Bible said right here. Amen. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to the light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Amen. Father, thank you tonight as your servant for another time of being with our friends, Brother and Sister Collins, in this great church, to share the Word of God and preach to someone who is in need. Lord, and lift up the standard high, that you're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you're coming back. And I love you tonight, and I ask you, Lord, for your anointing to rest upon thy servant and touch the remainder of this service. We ask in Jesus' name. Everybody say it. Amen. Amen. I want to preach for a while, just a little while, because we've had it sung and preached already. And I want to preach about the miracle of an experience with God. The miracle of an experience with God. We don't declare this as a miracle tonight. I've never heard anybody ever get up and testify about God saving them and delivering them and taking sin out of their life and stop doing the things that they're doing by their own merits. I never heard of anybody ever say, I saved myself. I've never heard of anybody say that I pull myself out of a world of iniquity. I've never heard anybody say that. But everyone that I've ever heard testify about the grace of God told about the miracle of how powerful that it was, how glorious glorious that it was, and how wonderful that it was, and how supernatural that it was. Now listen, in this descriptive message that Paul gave his testimony before Agrippa, in saying and making a declaration that he was a persecutor of people just like you and I.
Right.
That he was anti-church, what we're doing here tonight, Paul fought against that.
Right.
He didn't like to hear these kind of songs being sung. He repudiated the very presence of God that we're enjoying here tonight. He stood against what we're trying to accomplish here in this service by lifting up the name, the honorable name, the only name, the holy name of the Son of God. Paul was against that. And it was nothing less than a supernatural holy miracle from God that appeared on the road to Damascus with letters in his hands declaring, I'm going to persecute and kill and stop the church. But on the road, somebody said, oh, I've got a loved one, Brother Beckett, that's unreachable. Sister Collins, I've got a loved one that cannot be touched. I've got one that's impossible. I'm going to tell you that God Almighty specializes in doing miracles with people who everybody gave up on. I mean, the biggest drunk, the meanest man in town is the kind that our Lord can get a hold of and save and deliver. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Listen, folks, it's a miracle. An experience with God, I said, is a miracle. Hallelujah. I find so many young people especially who go their way and do their thing. Brother Collins, I've even seen young people shout like everybody shouted. And worship seemingly like everybody worshiped. But I've seen them fall back and forth into sin, out of sin, back in sin, out of sin. And the reason is because they never had an experience with God. They really never got down and prayed through. They were making the motions. They were going through the motions. I'm going to tell you it's difference. There's a big difference in coming to church and being a part of the constituency than it is to have a heartfelt. I'm talking about an experience with God that changes your life. You stop living like you were living and go on the places you were going to. Hear me, friend, when God saves you, He changes you. He changes your life. He changes your heart. Listen, it's a miracle. Man can't do this. It takes the power and the grace of our God to change lives. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, yes. And on that road, a light shone from heaven, filled that little area where this great man saw the persecutor strode on his way to Damascus. Falling to the ground, God blinded his eyes. He was led by the presence of God. After he arose, spoken to, and took to Damascus, Ananias was led of the Lord to come and lay hands on this butcher. Oh, listen. Somebody said that old long-haired hippie's got a rubber band around his hair and he's filthy and he stinks. He's been in the gutter and vomit all over his body from being in a drunken stupor. I don't want to go to his house. But all I'm going to tell you, God's man rose up, went on his journey, came and knocked on the door, and they opened the door, and he said, I'd like to see Saul the persecutor. Oh, hallelujah. Do you know how many times that God has led preachers like Brother Collins and myself and others here to the homes of people that everybody else gave up on? Oh, it wasn't what we done. I've talked to like I couldn't get any more words out of my mouth to some people and didn't seemingly see no changes. But I'm telling you, when God got a hold of their heart, they stopped their cussing, their lying, their cheating, living like the devil, their wife beating, their child abuse, and started serving God, came to church, started paying their tithes and being faithful. Come on, folks, there's a miracle about the experience that you have with God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I've thought so many times of the confrontation that I have, that you have with our arch enemy, our rival, Mr. Devil. That's right. We face him. And in sometimes different methods he uses to try to destroy our faith in God. Hear this child story, this powerful story. I love it because it's not just a kid's story. It's a 50-year-old bald-headed kid's story too. Amen. Brother Collins, I reached the big 5-0. I'm almost a senior citizen. Ooh. And here was these two armies. One on one side and one on the other. And they were duking it out. I mean, they were fighting. And this boy came down from the sheep herds, from his father, for greetings of his brothers. You know that little story of David and Goliath. But here's what I like about it. Everybody was trembling in their Durangos, shaking in their boots or shoes, sandals or slippers. They were shaking and quivering. And the boasting of that big old giant, "Send me your champion that we may fight." Amen. "Send him on over. If I win, you serve us. If he wins, we'll serve you." Nobody took it on. Everybody was afraid. But here this ruddy-haired, small little guy, as they call him David, came to the forefront and said, "What an opportunity." Nobody expected something like that, least of all his own brothers. "You've come just to see the battle." "No, you don't understand. God can move." And finally, that was noised abroad enough that it brought the attention to the leader, Saul. He was brought before Saul and questioned about his faith. How can you face Goliath? "Don't you understand? He's had many experiences. He's been a warrior since his youth. And you're but a child against him. Just a small individual against this huge man." He said, "Hold on, Mr. King. I want to tell you something. That one time I was taking care of my father's sheep, and I had an experience." We overlook this mere experience. He had two of them. They were synonymous with the other because they were both impossibilities. Now, I've hunted in California. I've hunted in Colorado. I've hunted in Oregon. I've hunted in Alaska. I've hunted different parts. I'm fixing to hunt in Ohio tomorrow morning. Isn't God great? Yeah. Hallelujah. So I know what it is to hunt. If I'm going to hunt a lion, we look over this. I've seen lion. California lion in the Sierras, they never get over. A 250-pound cat would be a big cat. About 125 pounds, 130 pounds. That's about the average. But this is not the kind of cat that it was. It was the huge cat, like the Bengal, a huge like a tiger, them huge king of the beast. That's the kind of cat that was recorded in history that David fought against. When it talked of Christ, of a lion of the tribe of Judah, it's not talking about a California, little old California Sierra Madre cat. It's talking about a king of the beast like from Africa. A huge cat, a monster, rose out against the sheep. And the Spirit of God came on that boy that had had an experience with God in the time of battle and storm. He was able to rise up, hallelujah, and slew the lion. Can you say amen? He was telling this to Saul. And Saul's eyes almost jumped out of his sockets. As this boy said, hold on, that's just one. Let me tell you about another experience I had. There was a bear. I was bear hunting a couple of weeks ago. And first time I've really ever got an opportunity to shoot a bear in California. I really never thought it would be much of a sport. They go a lot, and my friends kill a lot of Ralph Cowden down there, you know who he is. And Brother Johnny's church got hounds and hunts a lot. And so I got an experience to shoot a bear out of a tree. I didn't think that would be much, but it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun doing that. If you're an animal rights activist, you hate my guts already. So just go ahead. So anyway, this bear, I want to talk about this bear. This wasn't a 250-pound California black bear. He was the one described in history as having a hump on his back. That's a king-size jumbo grizzly. It was a grizzly bear that came against David. Can you imagine him describing this to Saul? While I was taking care of the sheep, a bear came after this lion, and this grizzly came after me. Oh, listen. David had had an experience with God. Can you say amen? I'm afraid that's what's wrong with our churches today. So many folks haven't had an experience with God. When you talk about all-time Pentecost, they really don't know what you're talking about. Hallelujah. I know this church does. I know this church does. I've been here. I've seen it in action here. I've preached for your pastor. He's preached for me. We share so many things alike. I know what he encourages. I know the story. But just in case there's someone here tonight that you don't have a heartfelt experience with God, I'm going to tell you, you can stop smoking and cussing and lying and cheating and living ungodly. If you can't stand on your own 2 feet spiritually, I'm telling you, there's someone here tonight that can change your life. And you can become a solid backer and promoter of this man's ministry right here in this church. Can you say amen? Can change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. All much learning doth make thee mad. I'm telling you, Paul before Agrippa said, "Woo, man, let me shout a while. Lord God of heaven, you don't know, Agrippa, how wonderful it is that on the road God saved me." He said, hold on, folks, this guy's done gone mad. Much learning has made him gone mad. Yeah. Saul's gone crazy. Yeah. No, he had an experience with God. He got saved. Yeah. Man, how do you describe that to a world that don't believe in God? People who despise God. The greatest testimony of a miracle working power of God is not, and it's great. It's one of the attributes of grace when somebody gets healed of cancer. It's a great miracle. It's a great miracle for all these divine healings. We encourage them. We believe it's part of the atonement. We accept them as a part of our worship and praying for the sick. But the greatest miracle that I've ever seen is when God got a hold of a drunk or a dope addict or a prostitute and God saved them that night and they stopped doing what they were doing, drinking what they were drinking, living like they were living. It was a miracle, folks. A miracle! A few days ago, Randy Mitchell, who went to the Keys church there when I was there, moved over to Arkansas and he was telling me about Bobby George. Bobby George was the town drunk. At the town where I pastored. And he had been a drunk for years. Ever since I can remember. Years and years. And nothing but the town drunk. Every time you saw him, he was drunk. bobbing and weaving around town with a bottle in his hand, or you'd see him laying out on by the street, laying there, just laying there. I mean, passed out. That's the kind of guy I was, the town drunk, a little old town. One night, Bobby George came to church, and he came back and sat in the, kind of in the back of the seat, and we was having revival. God was moving, saving the lost and healing the sick. And we got a hold of Bobby George to pray. God miraculously saved him that night. He stopped drinking. He came back to church the next night in revival with clean clothes on. I mean, he looked like a different person, Sister Collins. I'll tell you, nobody could deny that there was a holy God of heaven. Listen, mister, the psychiatrist and sociologist couldn't have saved Bobby George.
Never.
That's right. Me talking to him as a preacher couldn't have saved him. But one place, one time in California, Bobby George knelt down and found the Lord. God saved and delivered him out of that drunkenness and that spirit. And just a few weeks ago, Bobby George passed away in Arkansas. He told Randy Mitchell, he said, "Tell Brother Beckett and all those people out there in California that I'm still saved and I'm going to heaven if I die tonight." It's a miracle. I said the miracle of an experience with God. It's a miracle, folks. If you're here tonight saved, don't take it lightly. Don't take it for granted. It's something that came from heaven. It didn't just fall. God Almighty sent His Son. You're delivered because of Him. You're set free because of Him. Can you shout amen, somebody? Hallelujah. That's right. Time doesn't allow me tonight to tell all the testimonies I could tell. And besides that, my Jackie, she's my oldest daughter, she's here tonight. She watches me very carefully. If I get to going too long, she'll pull a sign on me. K-I-S-S. Cut it short, stupid. So I wanna watch it here. Amen. I got a lot of ammunition I can give you tonight. Hallelujah. Of how God saved people, miraculously delivered them out of hell. They're singing tonight. They're shouting tonight. How many did God save? And when He did, He delivered you from cigarettes. Let me see your hand. There's a few. How about chewing tobacco? Look at that. How about smoking wacky weed? Dope. Look at that. You don't have to be ashamed. I know, you can feel ashamed that it's past sins. I shouldn't even ask this question probably. I just wanted to show you something, that God saves men and women from a lot of things. How many did He save from lying? Let me see here. All of you raise your hand. You've all been liars. One time or another you told a lie. Woo, come on children. It's a miracle. It's a miracle tonight. You want to see a miracle, just look around you. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor. It's a miracle, folks, that they're even in church tonight. Don't take this lightly. It's a supernatural power to live in Christ. It'll even do when you're dying. That's right. Dennis Helton, one of our dear friends from Merced Church. You heard of about his daughter, probably. Just all of a sudden, determined that she had a tumor in her brain. Inoperable. They couldn't do one thing for her. People of God started praying, trying to trust God. They took her to some clinics who tried some natural processes, and it failed. And she passed on. Just a few days ago, the day that we were coming back here, they had her funeral on a Monday. Last Monday. And I'd been to a fundraising for her. They raised $20,000 that night for her. Her care was enormous. Astronomical amounts of money that it took for her care. And there were people there who were not Christians, but they honored this couple. One man donated his horse, a registered horse, $5,000 he wanted for the horse. And they kind of raffled it like off. You bought a ticket for $1, and if he was picked, you got the horse. They gave the $5,000 to her care. One man gave 2.5-acre lot, valued at $40,000. All this money for this little girl. And the Lord took her. Took her to heaven. That's where she's at tonight. I talked to Karen on the phone coming out here as we were driving down the highway someplace in New Mexico. And we expressed our love to her and to Dennis. And said, we want you to know that we love you and we're praying for you. And this was the word that she said. If it had not been for God during these last few days and hours, I could have never, ever kept my sanity. But oh, I'll tell you, because of an experience with God, when my father died, my mother died, my friends pass on, I'm able to have a hope. I've got a hope. Listen, folks, if I didn't know the Lord, I wouldn't know what hope was. But I know that one day, when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ is going to rise, I'm going to rise up to meet Him in the air. It's because of an experience that I had with God that brings the hope. Can you shout amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh my. If you don't know what that is, seeing a loved one pass on and being able to say, I'm saddened because I'm going to miss this person. I'm going to meet him over yonder. Going over yonder.
That's right.
I got plans of leaving this old world. Going to a better one. Amen. I got plans of the great escape. I'm out of here in the twinkling of an eye. When Jesus says it's enough, I'm going home. Hello. I've got a hope. Because I had an experience with God. 33 years ago, as just a 16-year-old boy sitting on my couch in the living room, December the 26th, 1963, in the middle of a grape field where our old house was, God dealt with my heart through a gospel song that was playing on a record. Old George Beverly Shea, he sung for Billy Graham for 1,000 years, seems like. Still singing. I don't know how old he is now, but he's still singing. That deep baritone voice, that harmony. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful grace. Let me tell you something. That night that song got a hold of my heart. And I got down on my knees and I prayed through until victory came. After 3 hours of crying and praying, I got up and knew I was a new creature. I knew that I had an experience with God. I knew that He changed my heart. I didn't any longer want to be the kind of person that I was. I didn't go back to the public school the same guy. That's right. I even told the girl that I had as a girlfriend, you either have to get saved or we're through. And I was through. We were through. God saved me. That's right. I didn't go to any more dances. I never did smoke. It almost drove me crazy to try one. Coughed myself to death. I never did drink much. I took a shot one time and it burnt me all the way from my tongue, all the way down. I mean, it burnt me. That was enough for me. I'd never be an alcoholic. I didn't want anything to do with a hooch bottle. But I know this. That night, conviction filled my life. I didn't want to go back to the picture show. I wanted to get away from it. I didn't want to do what I'd been doing. I want to get away from it. I had an experience with God. I like to see some young people today get on fire and pray through and make a group. And I'm sure you probably got one here in this church where it's preached and practiced. Oh my, where the glory of God fills the tabernacle. And they jump up and sing, I can remember all when I was just a little old kid. Listen, folks, I've observed church from under the pews, sitting in the pews, running across the pews. That's right. I observed it all. Lord have mercy. And this is the thing that I remember. Everybody shouted and everybody rejoiced. That's the thing I remember. All the young people, all the older folks, they all got in and had church. The preacher preached. They had an experience with God. You know what? It's still going on. God's still moving today. He's still pouring out His glory in the face of a fake mimicry of Pentecost that's around this country. God's got the genuine thing that still works today. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want just the emotional aspect either. I want it all. I believe in emotion. I'll shout at the drop of a hat and I'll drop the hat. I believe in it. Man, I practice it. I promote it. Believe me. Trust me. But I want something that'll warm my heart and get me to live right when the test and the trial comes, as this service has prevailed and went tonight. All those wonderful songs about the lily of the valley and different songs through the storm and on. I want something to keep me, brother, when the devil is throwing hand grenades at me. I want something that'll keep me on fire when those about me stop living for God and start following the devil. I want something that'll keep me in church, hello, when the preacher's not around. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're such a person here tonight that doesn't have an experience with God, you can leave here with one. Amen. Hallelujah. You can leave here a changed person. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's miraculously helped my family. My two sons serving God. God's done a miracle in their life. They'll testify to it. God's sent me two wonderful daughter-in-laws, precious girls that have been under my ministry and served God. And my two precious girls, wonderful, wonderful girls, love God, go to Bible school, sing in the choir, live for God. Church, church, church. I love it. And it would have never happened if there wasn't an experience with God. God had to do something in our heart. Stand with me tonight, Father. I thank You. I thank You. I thank You for the power of the Holy Ghost that's prevailed in this service. Lord, You've moved from the beginning of this service, poured out Your glory. And I just feel Your grace trying to work tonight. Those who have needs, I pray that You'd move. Stir every heart in this building. Bring us to this old-fashioned altar. Lord, as these singers sing, these musicians play, let someone make their way, Lord, to the altar. There's room for someone here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Brother Collins, this service is yours. Praise God. Would you come and pray? If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, I'd like to meet you right here. I'd like to see you accept the Lord. Find His grace tonight. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. If you need God, He's here to save you. You need help, He's here tonight to deliver you. That's right. You might be like a Bobby George. Or you might be like some young people that I've seen pray through by the droves. Come to this altar tonight and seek God. Find Him tonight. He'll deliver you. He'll set you free. He'll give you grace. He'll help you. I can't save you, but I know someone that can. Sing it here tonight. How about it? Why don't you come and pray? Seek God. Hallelujah. God bless you.